Good morning. It's good to see so many of you here on this wonderful summer morning. It is beginning to feel a little bit like summer. It's been warm this last week. Many of you have seen me at the beginning of the church or before church starts. Often I'm standing out front, and I love to see little children come into the church. Some of you have seen me. I like to kneel down and say hi to them, and a few, kind of like Taylor, will come running to me right away, and I can pick them up and give them a hug, and Taylor gave me a hug this morning. Or with little babies, when they come in, I like to tickle the cheek sometimes. But sometimes when I do those things, I get a mixed reaction. Do you know what I mean? There are those like Taylor, like I said, will come right to me, and there are those who will just bury their heads in their parent's neck or run to their parent and grab that leg. And sometimes you even get the reaction that, you know, this person's thought that their doom has come. And so they just start screaming. Have you had that happen? I have found that one of the strategic ways, if you want a good response from a child, is to do what? You saw the sermon title, right? Did you see the sermon title? Just checking. One of the ways, peekaboo, you know the game, right? Put your hands in front of your face, you open it, and you say, oh, there you go. Man, you're better than the first group. They just said boo. You said peekaboo. Or you hang around the corner and you look out and they do that. I have found, though, and this is just from professional experience. I have found, though, if you do peekaboo and you jut your face forward fast, often they will scream. You don't want to do that. When you do that, you want to kind of pull back. It's a non-threatening way to get a response. You know, sometimes I'll get negative responses that way, but most of the time, peekaboo works, doesn't it? I think often what that does for a child is it gives them a non-threatening way to say to themselves, you know, maybe I can believe and trust this guy doesn't mean harm to me. This weird guy with the balding head and all that, you know, maybe I can trust. And in some ways we can understand when a child screams, can we not? You know, a baby's in the world 6 months, two years, and they say to themselves, suddenly this guy comes to me and he wants me to smile and give him a high five. I'm still trying to figure this world out. But that non-threatening way of saying, just peekaboo, I invite you to smile at me. I invite you to begin a relationship of just, you know, cordiality to start with. Often I think when we come, Not just to relationships with each other as family, as friends in this church, but when we come to relationships with God Himself, we do the same thing. Often when God wants to speak to us or open our hearts to things, sometimes we bury our heads in things and we don't want to speak or see or hear from God. Or when there comes a time when we need to be in prayer or communication or meditation with God or with a community of faith, we bury our head and we grab that leg of the things that we are doing and we keep ourselves busy so we don't have to listen or speak to what God may want to tell us. And sometimes when it comes to issues of communication in our life with God, how is it we keep prayer and talk and being with God at a distance? We as a Christian community, we are called to walk the walk of what Jesus teaches us. To live out the ethics, to live out the morals, to live out the teachings God teaches us. But also, we are asked, and more, we are invited to speak to God the things that we feel, that we know, that we have to share with somebody. And we are invited to listen to what God needs or wants to share with us out of love. Do we do that? How is your prayer life? You know, we know here at Our Redeemers, we are a walk kind of church. You know, we've got, is anybody going to New Orleans? How many do we have in New Orleans? Rob's not here. I think we have 12 to 15 going to New Orleans. We got 41 going to ASP. Close to 55 people on mission trips this summer. We do soup kitchen. We do Habitat for Humanity. Our Micah Ministries has got a garden in the back of our church as a symbol that we are involved in giving money and our time so people don't go hungry. We are a walk, do it kind of church. But we need to remember, we've got to remember to be a talk kind of church as well. To be able to communicate with each other in ways of love and grace and communicate with God. And I think we have issues with that. I have been on a number of mission trips with our youth here, and mostly to Appalachia. And, you know, some of you who have been on these trips will verify this. I have learned that sometimes on a work camp, on a mission trip, there's sometimes more talking done than work. Can I get an amen to that? You did an amen. Sometimes there's more talking than work. And, you know, people, yeah, I did get an amen that time. There we go. He's been on one. He knows. And I'm okay with that. And I'll give you an example of that. Steve, can I have a picture? Here's a picture from our last year's ASP trip. Maybe I can get the picture. Here's a picture from our last year's trip. On the right is Rachel. She was the center director at our place. On the left is, or on the middle is Jim Natz, my good friend back there, one of my best friends in the church, and I'll tell you why. And then you see the guy hiding behind a coffee cup and back. I am sure this day that a load of cinder block or brick or lumber came into the place and they wanted us to unload it. And Rachel saying to Jim, "Where is Pastor Bill?" And Jim saying, "He went that away." My best friend in the church right there, getting me out of work. But I am convinced, and I do some physical labor when I go. Can I get an amen to that? Oh, yes, I did. But I'm here to testify that sometimes the talking is more important than the work. I'm here to share with you that on the work side of a hammer, I have done a lot of counseling, even as I've been nailing. I'm here to share with you as I've been put on roofs, hung drywall, insulated, that I have had conversations with young people and adults about their understanding of God and Jesus Christ and how do we deal with issues of poverty as a people of faith. I'm here to share that with you. And if I can get, Steve, can I get that picture back? One of the reasons I share this picture is not to embarrass myself, which I do find that very embarrassing. I'm still looking for the person who took that picture. But the woman on the right, Rachel, she was part of, we happened to get her 2 years in a row as a staff person. This last time we went, there are a number of times at the work site and also at the center where we're at that Rachel and I talked about her plans for her future. For some reason, she wouldn't talk to a minister about it. Why? I don't know. But I do remember also one evening after all the activities were done, I went to her staff quarters. Her and I sat down and we talked for an hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hours. Rachel was about to leave for Africa as soon as this ASP was over, to be a missionary, to learn how to be a doctor in some of the poorest regions of Africa. And we sat and we just talked about it. And I believe that was the most significant thing I did that summer, right there. I just sat and I listened, my favorite kind of a job. It's important that we talk as well as we walk. Now, please take that picture off. Now, we do know that with each other, don't we? But do we know that with God? If I ask, please do not raise your hands, but if I ask, how many of you have a very good, strong prayer life? How many would raise your hands? And I confess to you, I would, that I struggle with that just like many of you do. What is it about prayer? Is it that we don't know words to communicate? This morning when at the first service, we had 15, 20 children come up. And, you know, I kind of played a game with them. I said, I want you to do something for me. I made them all stand up. Go back and say to your parents, thank you for helping me at times. And they did that, and they thought that was cute. They came back up. I said, now I want you to go back and tell them, you know, sometimes you do stuff wrong. I want to tell you to tell your parents, you're sorry. They weren't so excited about doing that. But they did. They came back up and finally said, one more time, I want you to go back and ask your parents, would you please continue to help me grow up? And that's kind of a weird thing, right? But they did it. They came back. But I asked them, was that hard to do? No. You know, and it's easy to say you're sorry when you don't have something to say you're sorry for. That is easy, right? But it's harder the other way. But then I said, that's prayer. When we go to God, often we say, thank you for, I'm sorry for, it's called confession, and Lord, lead me. That's all. Was that hard? With our parents, no, it was easy. But when it comes to us praying to God, is it hard? I am amazed At every church I've been at, I've always had the privilege of working with people who are extremely competent in what they do. And I am amazed sometimes I've worked with some businessmen and women who have traveled all over the world, who have presented to multicultural, bilingual, trilingual conferences, who've done huge PowerPoint presentations, who control major budgets, or I've worked with mothers or fathers who have run PTA groups, sat on school boards, dealt with 8-year-old scouting groups, and that'll scare you to death, and done that extremely well. But then you ask them, would you lead a prayer for this meeting? And they get weak in the knees. How is that? Why is it we don't know the gift of talking to God that God has given us? It is not an obligation that somehow you've got to do this thing or God won't like you, you've got to pray. It should not be a religious obligation. It is an invitation, like playing peekaboo with God. It's an invitation to talk and to communicate. You know, I don't think, sometimes, I will admit, sometimes I think perhaps we have made prayer too complicated. We think, you know, in church we do these formal prayers, it's got to be kind of feel like the Lord's Prayer or the blessing of the communion. Or sometimes, perhaps, we have tended to make prayer a little too formal because we go to church and we do formal prayers. They have their place, they're wonderful, beautiful things. But we've talked ourselves into thinking it's an unnatural act, only fitting for universities and seminaries or for pastors to do, instead of the real gift of being able to communicate with God. I would maintain, like a gentleman named Philip Yancey in his recent book on prayer, prayer is a natural thing for all of us to do. We, in our very heart of hearts, want to connect with somebody or something that is greater than ourselves, and being able to communicate and feel their presence. And Yancey argues so strongly about it, he says, even atheists pray. You believe that? Listen to this. In his book, he says, he writes down what to me sounds like a meditation or prayer. And if you think about Jesus in this way, listen to this, but then I'll open up to what he's really talking about. In the Soviet Union, this was written on placards that people had on their tables in their houses, and it went like this. If you meet with difficulties in your work or suddenly doubt your abilities, think of Him. I mean, think of Jesus, right? Or think of God. Think of Him, and you will find the confidence that you need. If you feel tired in an hour when you should not, think of Him, and your work will go well. If you are seeking a correct decision, think of Him, and you will find the decision. Now that, you know, I think those are wonderful words when we think about Jesus Christ. But it was for the Soviet Union at the time when communism was at its height. And here it is. Let me fill in the blank spaces. If you meet with difficulties in your work or suddenly doubt your abilities, think of him, of Joseph Stalin. And you will find the confidence that you need. If you feel tired in an hour when you should not, think of Stalin. And your work will go well. If you're seeking a correct decision, think of him, of Stalin. And we know about Stalin, don't we? And you will find the decision that you need. I believe in our heart of hearts, we all have that need to connect with that which is greater than ourselves. And the problem isn't the words. We know that now. The problem isn't that it feels too religiously, sometimes a little too formal, or maybe a little too complicated. But I think at the bottom core of it is maybe we don't know how to have a relationship with God. It's about issues of intimacy and relationship. You know, how many of you have trouble saying I'm sorry when you've done something? I mean, amen to that. Those are issues of intimacy. We're not sure we want to do that. How many of you have trouble really communicating or sharing or doing acts of real, you know, friendship and love with each other? You know, how many times you say I love you to people that you love? We have trouble with that, don't we? And what God asked us to do in Jesus Christ is to have an intimate, loving relationship, not as we have with each other, spouses and friends, but to have a relationship of love and grace. And I'm convinced we're not sure we want that, even though there's a part of us that says we really need that. What if we rethought who God is for us in our image and understanding. In the gospel reading today, Jesus teaches about new wineskins and old wineskins. And a lot of us have old wineskins about how we think of God, don't we? We know how He is. We know what it's about. We've got that scriptural reference in our minds. And we're, even though maybe it's not working for us real well, we like that image. Don't try to do something new with it. But what if we dared to step back from that and try to look at God in a different kind of way? Today, as I close with this issue of prayer, I want you to begin that process. And no, it's not an overnight kind of thing. When you play peekaboo with a child, they're not going to come and just play with you automatically, right? They may want to see you next Sunday, and they may not. It's the beginning of a relationship, is what it is. And what if we rethought from the the imagery of God from the Genesis thing to the walking? What we heard read in the book of Genesis is how God Almighty created everything and then rested. I mean, that's a big guy, right? But you know what happens next? Is that God comes and walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. I mean, can't you see hand in hand? Think about that. Hand in hand, a God that wants to know us in an intimate, loving way. So this week, I want to give you an assignment. And it's very easy. I want you to think of three times. First, this is what I want you to do. I want you to play peekaboo with God. Okay? Peekaboo. First, where do you spend, like if you go to a job, if you are a student, what do you do during the day most of the time? When you're doing that, I want you to find one time and I want you to think of God. Is that hard? I want you to think of God and I want you to smile. That's it. Secondly, when you're with your family, be it at dinner or breakfast or lunch or on an outing that you have, going to a movie, wherever it is, I don't care. Sometime when you see your child, you see your spouse, I want you to think of God. And what are we going to do? We're going to smile. That's it. Rebuild relationship is what that's about. Finally, when you have a time by yourself, not with anybody else. Maybe it's your morning coffee. Maybe it's out on the deck. Maybe it's driving to work. I want you to think of God and I want you to use these muscles. That's all. I just want you to smile and begin to rebuild a relationship or strengthen a relationship that God wants you to have. I can't help but think when we do that, that life of prayer and grace will grow and grow in our hearts. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the community we're about here, but Lord, we thank you especially for relationship. So help us this week begin to reconnect with you in ways of love and grace. Remind us you are a God of love, even as you are the Creator. Remind us sometimes that old wineskins don't really hold the image and the grace and the love that you are. And Lord, help us grab that new wineskin, that new way in which we can connect to you in love, so that we can feel that love you intend for us, that we can share that love with those who are family and friends, but especially, Lord, we can receive that love as ministers of yours and share the good news of Jesus Christ in this broken world. All this we pray in His name.